Discovering Christ in Revelation, Chapter 18, Christ, the Lamb of God. A reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. In Revelation 5, the vision that John relates to us conveys one message. Everything God has for men is in the Lamb, provided by the Lamb, revealed through the Lamb, and designed to bring praise to the Lamb of God. All that God gives to sinners, he gives through Christ. And all that God receives from sinners, he receives through Christ. In chapter 4, John saw the sovereign majesty of the triune God in creation. In chapter 5, he tells us how he was made to see the sovereign majesty of the triune God in the redemption of sinners by Christ Jesus. John saw and heard five things which are described in these 14 verses. 1. The throne of God. 2. The book of God. 3. The Lamb of God took the book to open it. 4. The song of the redeemed. And 5. The consummate purpose of God. Number 1. The throne of God. The central object in the vision which John sets before us in chapters 4 and 5 is the throne of God. His gaze was constantly focused on him that sat on the throne. In these two chapters, he calls our attention to God's throne 17 times. In chapter 4, John describes the incomparably glorious splendor of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in his sovereignty. In chapter 5, he describes the mediator, the Lamb, whom he beheld in the midst of the throne, and by whom the triune God makes himself known to men, and that Lamb is himself God the Son. As always, the throne of God is a symbol of his sovereignty. It is a symbol of God's supreme majesty and universal power, authority, and dominion. Let it never be forgotten that our God is God upon a throne. He rules all things in total sovereignty. A God without a throne is a worthless God, for such a God is no God at all. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Psalm 115, verse 3, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. The Lord our God, the one true and living God, is a God of absolute sovereignty. He always does exactly what he wills in creation, in providence, and in grace. Every believer has learned and rejoices to know that the heavens do rule. And we rejoice to know that God's sovereign throne is a throne of grace. Grace originates at God's throne. Grace is dispensed from God's throne, and grace brings sinners to God's throne. Our God is sovereign, and he is gracious. He is great, and he is good. He is almighty, and he is merciful. He delighteth in mercy. God always exercises his sovereign power and dominion to accomplish his everlasting purpose of grace toward his elect. 2. The Book of God. In the right hand of the eternal God, John saw a book written within and without, bound, shut, and sealed with 7 seals. This book is the book of God's eternal decrees. It represents God's eternal plan and purpose of grace, his purpose of predestination, which includes all things. It is to this book that our great surety referred when he said, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God." William Hendrickson said of this book, It symbolizes God's purpose with respect to the entire universe, throughout history, and concerning all creatures in all ages and unto all eternity. Our God is a God of purpose, eternal, unalterable purpose. God's purpose of predestination includes all things. The object of God's eternal purpose of predestination is the salvation of His elect. Everything that comes to pass in time was purposed by God in eternity. And the object of God in all that He does is the effectual accomplishment of the everlasting salvation of His elect. In election, God chose a people whom He would save. In predestination, He sovereignly ordained all things that come to pass to secure the salvation of His chosen. And in providence, He accomplishes in time what He purposed from eternity. As John saw it, the book of God was closed, a mystery sealed with seven seals. These seven seals do not represent, as it is sometimes claimed, seven dispensations of time. The writing within and on the back and the seven seals simply mean that God's purpose is full, complete, perfect, and unalterable. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. The seven seals also tell us that God's purpose of grace is unknown, unrevealed, a secret known only to God until Christ revealed it. He revealed it at first in all types, shadows, and prophecies of the Old Testament. Then, in these last days, He has revealed it to us more fully in the Gospel. And in the last day, when the restitution of all things is made, our Lord will perfectly reveal God's purpose in all things. The closed book indicates that God's plan was both unrevealed and unexecuted. If the book were to remain closed, God's eternal purpose would not be realized. His plan would not be executed. The thought of God's purpose being shut up, unrevealed, and unfulfilled caused John great lamentation and grief, and he began to weep. If God's book is opened, if the seals are broken, then the universe is ruled and governed in the interest of God's elect, according to the purpose of His grace. Then God's glorious purpose of redemption would be accomplished. But if it is not opened and fulfilled, then the purpose of God Himself would be thwarted, the grace of God would be frustrated, the plan of God would go unfulfilled, God Himself would lose His glory. But there's no cause to weep, as we see from the next thing John describes. Number 3, the Lamb of God took the book to open it. One of the elders, one of those chosen by God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and saved by grace, saith unto me, Weep not. Why should John stop weeping? Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. In other words, Christ has conquered all His enemies and ours. By the shedding of His blood, by His death upon the cross, this Lion of Judah, this Root of David, has prevailed. He has removed the sins of His people, satisfied the law, crushed the serpent's head, and conquered death. By virtue of His sacrifice, Christ has earned the right to open the book and to rule the universe in accordance with God's eternal purpose of grace. God has given Him power over all flesh, that He might give eternal life to His elect. John beheld the Lord Jesus Christ not only as a conquering lion, but also as a sin-atoning, mediating lamb. He saw the lamb in the midst of the four living creatures and the 24 elders as a lamb that had been slaughtered. This means that the virtue and merit of His sacrifice are abiding, perpetual, and efficacious. This lamb, symbolically, has seven horns. Horns are emblems of power. Christ is the horn of salvation. As such, he has plenty of power. He's able to save his people, keep them in his grace, and do for them all that they need. He also has seven eyes, abundant wisdom. These seven eyes represent the gifts, power, and wisdom of the Holy Spirit, which are dispensed to God's elect upon the earth by virtue of Christ's death, resurrection, and exaltation as our substitute. Then, as John looked on, Christ the Lamb took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. John Trapp said that as a mediator he took it, as God he gave it. Our Savior did not ask for the book, he took it, because it is his right to do so. This is the significance of what John saw. The Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator, received authority to rule the universe according to the will of God by virtue of his sin-atoning sacrifice. This is a picture of the coronation of King Jesus. As the Father's reward to him for his mediatorial accomplishments, at his ascension, Christ received for himself a kingdom. God has turned the world over to the rule of the God-man, the Lamb, our mediator. God governs the universe according to his own eternal decrees through the Lamb. This is Christ's reward and every believer's comfort. Number 4, the Song of the Redeemed. As soon as the Lamb took the book in his hands and accepted the scepter of universal monarchy, a song of praise broke out in heaven. This song began with the church, the redeemed ones, and was taken up by the heavenly angels. This song is a celebration of Christ's worthiness to rule the universe according to God's purpose, and to receive all praise, honor, and glory forever. The basis of both his worthiness of such honor and the praise given to him by saints and angels is his effectual redemption. Praise is not given to him simply because he was slain. Many have been slain, but because his slaughter was the accomplishment of our redemption. The death of Christ, as the sin-atoning Lamb, was the accomplishment of a particular and effectual redemption. The song does not say, "Thou hast redeemed every kindred, tongue, people, and nation." That would mean either that his blood was shed in vain for the multitude who are lost, or that all the universe is saved. Neither of which is true. The song says, "Thou hast redeemed us out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation." And 5, the consummate purpose of God. It is God's ultimate purpose that everything and everyone in his creation should bow before and bring honor to his dear Son. And God will see to it that his purpose is accomplished in the end. He who made all things, sustains all things, and rules all things, will ultimately have the eternal praise of all things. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. These are the things John saw when he was in the Spirit. He saw that the entire universe is governed by the throne of Almighty God, and that God rules the universe through the Mediator, Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God. Having accomplished the redemption of his people by the sacrifice of himself, our Lord Jesus ascended back into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, exalted above all principality, power, and dominion. God the Father put all things in subjection to Christ under his feet and made him to be head over all things to his church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ultimately, all things will glorify Christ, our God and Savior. God's purpose will be carried out in his creation. The throne of God is secure. the Lamb of God reigns supreme, without rival, and by uncontestable right. The kingdom of God is safe and secure. The glory of the eternal God is sure. Blessed is that person to whom these things have been revealed.